For a message this morning, I'd like to look at a topic that I don't know if I ever spoke on it before. It's a little bit of a different topic, but dealing with interruptions. The Webster's Dictionary says this about the word interrupt. It says to stop or hinder by breaking in. To break the uniformity or the continuity of. Now, there are many different kinds of interruptions and likely come from a variety of sources. We use the word interrupt when we are talking and someone is trying to interject and try to talk. When we're trying to say something, we use interrupt in that way. There are also many evil things around us that can interrupt our thoughts and what we are doing and draw our attention away. We call that temptation. But what I want to look at this morning is dealing with those interruptions that come to us in the busy routine of life that we can so easily respond negatively to. Maybe you don't struggle with that. This message is born out of what I felt is a need in my own life. These words in our title, dealing with, suggest that interruptions can be a challenge. Do you find interruptions being a challenge, or do you find them being something that is positive, I guess, is a question we'll be considering this morning. We tend to be pretty busy, scheduled people, which I think is a good thing. It's good to wake up every day and somewhat have a plan for the day of what we'll do. It's good to be structured. It's good to have a plan in place. But I think it's there in James where it talks about us facing life with the idea of if the Lord wills. And I think that comes into play here this morning. Interruptions will inevitably be a part of our lives. Studies show that the average worker gets interrupted about 73 times a day, and some as high as 275 times, which is about every 2 minutes. Now, that's in the workplace, which is often a very different environment than at home. But we face interruptions at home as well. Children needing our attention when we're busy doing something else. Spilled water, broken down washer or dryer that we need so bad. Sudden changes of plans because of sickness. Or just needing to rework our schedules to accommodate something that came up. And the list could go on. So we will never get away from those interruptions. But I think it's good for us to think about how we should relate to them, how we should relate to life and the things that come in that break into our routines. Just this past week, I knew I needed to be studying to preach, and I had gone outside one evening after supper to do some things with a plan to come back in partway through the evening and get some studying done. And I just finished what I was doing and was feeling like I needed to get back inside. And two of our little girls asked if I would take them on a walk. And right then, I had this tension within me. I knew that I had a lot of study to do, but I also knew I wanted to please our little girls. So it can be very challenging to deal with that tension that interruptions bring. We know what we have to do, the list before us, but we also have another thing calling for our attention that may be equal or more important. My work requires a fair amount of multitasking, which I don't feel like I'm good at, and those I work with probably have noticed frustration. And then amidst multitasking to try to keep things running smoothly, someone may stop and need help. And while I'm taking care of them, a phone call comes in that I need to take. I've been trying to get a hold of a customer. And then someone steps up to the counter and is wanting help as well. Maybe a mechanic is calling for help, needs someone to call a customer. And the list goes on. And all the while, I'm trying to remember what I was doing before all of this transpired. I think probably some of you know what that's like. Interruptions, how do we deal with them? I think we would all agree that some interruptions have very little significance, while others can be life-changing. But I believe our perspective on life's interruptions and how we relate to them is very important. I was pondering, so what is the source of interruptions? Are they from God? Is it just chance? Is there an evil source? I don't think that we can always figure out and know what is the source. But we need to make choices about them. We do know that the Bible teaches us to abstain from evil and pursue that which is good, no matter what comes into life. So something comes to our attention, something breaks in, we need to decide, okay, so what would God have me to do in this situation? And we also are familiar with the verse in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. So we know that God is not against us, and he is working for our good. And so whatever comes into our path, he wants to use for good. And it requires choices on our part. Proverbs 16:9 says, "A man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps." This verse points out the fact that we make plans, which I think is good. But God ultimately determines our steps through life. He has a plan for us and directs us in that plan. It's up to us to relate properly to those interruptions, as we might call them, that come into our plan. Psalm 37:23, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way." So God delights in ordering our day, throughout the day. And it would be interesting just to know what God's thoughts are for us personally for today. So he knows what's going to come into our lives, how we'll respond, how he wants us to respond. And yet he sees the great picture of his will for us. Proverbs 19:21, "There are many devices in a man's heart, nevertheless the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." In our minds, we have a lot of goals and plans, but this verse tells us that it is God's plan and purpose that will ultimately be carried out. So it's hard for me to sort through, so what is man's choice? And what is God's sovereign work? But these verses remind us that God intervenes in our lives to bring about his perfect will in us. And so I believe it's important that we are sensitive to the ways God wants to work in us and through us in his kingdom. I would like to look at a number of points in relation to dealing with interruptions that come into our lives and invite you to go to Exodus 3. Our first one is, interruptions are invitations to see and experience God. Interruptions are invitations to see and experience God. Exodus 3, I would like to read the first six verses. "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. And he said, draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. So here was Moses, one day, in the routine of life, just doing what he had always done, taking care of his father-in-law's sheep, when he experienced this interruption. This bush that was on fire turned his attention away from what he was doing. And he saw it. And he's like, I'm going to go see what's going on, see what's happening. And this turning aside marked a change in his life that would forever change his future. God had a plan for him to lead his people out of Egypt and into the land of Canaan. We never know what an interruption in our life will lead to. Interruptions are, I believe, one of God's ways of waking us up to what's around us and to see that there's more to be done than our self-appointed tasks for the day, as important as they may seem. Moses experienced God in a way that he would never have expected had he not turned aside from his daily routine of life. And the same is true for us today. In those busy moments, in the routine of life, is when those interruptions are likely to come. And we'll need to make a choice what we are going to do with them. We could approach them with the feeling of frustration and not experience what God really wants us to experience. Or we can accept them joyfully with anticipation of it being a way for God to use us and draw us into service in his kingdom even more, as he did with Moses. I also thought about Saul on the road to Damascus. He had a mission in mind, but God interrupted that mission when he shone a bright light down in his path. And it says Saul fell to the ground. That day, Saul met Jesus and became a changed man. I wonder how many interruptions God has tried to use in my life and your life to get our attention, to show us more of himself, and how we responded to them. And these interruptions come in many different forms, and maybe not so much in big ways as Moses and Saul. Yes, we do face some. But he does allow interruptions to invite us to himself and to work for him in his kingdom. It could be as simple as a preschooler begging for dad or mom to read them a book when we are busy. And we take that opportunity, and in the course of reading that book, there's this conversation about God, who God is, or what heaven's like, okay? And you can't put a value on that. They can be God moments if we see it as an invitation rather than an interruption. And sometimes those times of explaining the very simple thing of who God is or what heaven is like can minister to our own hearts just as much or more than it does to the child. It could be the unpleasantness of needing to stop what we are doing to discipline a child and correct their thinking. Again, this may seem like something small, but actually something that affects them for life, that puts them on a course. Perhaps it's a customer who steps up to the counter just like any other customer, but the conversation goes on to spiritual things, and you produce a friendship, and pretty soon they're coming to church and wanting to know more. So we never know what those little interruptions could lead to. It could be something as big as a phone call that you're not expecting. You're asked to go teach school or go on the mission field in another country. God wants to order our steps, and He will bring things into our lives or use things that are before us to lead us in His plan and service in His kingdom. And so I encourage us to view these interruptions as invitations to farther God's kingdom. Secondly, interruptions bring an opportunity to exercise faith and trust in God. If you're still at Exodus 3, I would like to read verses 11 to 14. It says, "And Moses said unto God, Who am I that I should go unto Pharaoh, and that I should bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt? And he said, Certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee, when thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt. Ye shall serve God upon this mountain. And Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers hath sent me unto you, and they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you." And we could go on and read more about Moses. But in this interruption that Moses experienced in his routine, he was asked to do something that seemed beyond his ability to do. He says, "Who am I that I should do this? Who am I?" In the pressure of the busyness of life, we can often feel the same way when interruptions come. We may begin to think in our minds, "How can I? I have this and this and this and this, and what about this over here? How can I?" And our focus is on ourselves. And when our focus is on ourselves, in our present circumstances, and our own abilities or inabilities, we easily become frustrated and feel inadequate, and we respond in ways that are not open and receptive. When Moses began to question God, God reminded him of who he was. He said, "I am. I am the all-sufficient one." And I believe it's so important for us to have a proper view of God and to believe that He will never call us to something that He will not equip us for. And when we have that settled in our minds, then when interruptions come into our life amidst pressures and feelings of inadequacy, we can turn to the one who is the I Am, and in faith, believe that He will help us. And this week was one of those weeks for me when I needed to exercise faith and trust. Typically, on weeks I'm preaching, I feel like I want all the time I can get for study. And we had an extremely busy schedule at work, and things were popping up to fill our evenings. And I knew I needed to prepare to preach on Sunday, and that put me on a journey of struggling. Okay, so all these interruptions, rather than trusting God that He will help me through. And I find it difficult at times not to become frustrated, but to simply trust in God. So the next time interruption comes into our life, whether it's something big or small, remember the great I Am that wants to use us in His kingdom and will help us in whatever He brings or allows into our path. When we place our faith and trust in Him, we find Him faithful. And it's fascinating to look at the life of Moses. No, he wasn't a perfect man, but if you think about the many times he interceded for the children of Israel because of what they were going through, he interceded for them. He called out to God. And every time God was there to help him, Moses found God to be what he said he was, the great I Am. And I can testify also that God has been faithful. He has never let me down. Number three, interruptions can be appointments for showing compassion. I am just amazed at the example in the life of Jesus. For as full as his schedule seemed of him going from place to place and always, or a lot of times, being around people, and someone else would come, and then someone else would come needing help. For as full as his schedule was, it seemed like he was never so booked that he didn't have time to linger and help someone. Sometime go through the Gospels and notice how often Jesus was interrupted and how he dealt with it. You will find that in his journeys from place to place, he would get stopped by strangers. There were times when his disciples detained him because they had questions, and he took the time for them to teach them. In Luke 7, we have the story of a Pharisee wanting Jesus to eat with him. And while they were sitting together eating, a woman from the city who was a sinner came. She heard that Jesus was there. She came and began to wash Jesus' feet with her tears and then anointed them. So even Jesus' meals were interrupted, and yet he never showed signs of frustration. It seemed like he always showed love and compassion to those who were in front of him. That was the motivation for everything he did. Jesus never seemed to be in a hurry. This is often our tendency. When something or someone interrupts our schedules, we have other things to do. We're in a hurry. I'm tired. Don't have time. That's our natural tendency. Turn with me to Matthew 14 for another example of Jesus. Matthew 14, verses 13 to 16. Says, when Jesus heard of it, now this was right after the death of John the Baptist, so Jesus had just heard of John the Baptist's death. It says, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart, and when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, this is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy them victuals. But Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. Give ye them to eat. We see two responses here in this interruption, you could say. Jesus saw it as an appointment for love and compassion, but it seems like the disciples saw it more as an interruption and soon became wearied and spent and wanted to send the people away. Jesus was so selfless. Did you think about the fact that Jesus had just learned about John the Baptist's death and that he was heading into a place of solitude? Into a desert place apart. He wanted time alone. It seems like this news was hard on him, but amidst these feelings, he had time for the interruption of these people that followed him. Let's go down to verses 22 to 27. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. There he went apart again. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. I get the picture that Jesus, yes, he finally had some time alone, but then something else came up. He knew about his disciples out there on the sea. They were being tossed with the wind and the waves, and he cared about them, and he went to them and helped them. compassion and love. Interruptions will be a part of life. And I am so thankful for the example of Jesus, how he showed us clearly a better way to deal with interruptions. And it's so easy to act out of frustration rather than love and compassion. But if we step back and think seriously about life and the greater picture, and ask God to help us gain a right perspective, I believe he will show us. He will show us. And I believe then he'll be able to use us for his glory and his kingdom. We'll begin to see those interruptions as opportunities to further his kingdom. Number four, interruptions bring an opportunity to exercise patience. Interruptions will test our patience, whether it's someone who God placed in our path to reach out to, whether it's a child that is calling for help or attention when we are busy, or a customer or neighbor who wants to talk and talk when we have other things pressing. Maybe it's a traffic jam that makes you late for your appointment. Or something more serious like a financial reverse that requires a change of plans for your future. Or some type of suffering or setback that God allowed into our lives that, again, just changes our future. We can view things as disruptions or as opportunities, like I've been saying. Opportunities for God to teach us and use us in ways that we may not have thought about otherwise. Thought about Job. Job was just extremely patient, it seems, in spite of the tremendous suffering, the change of events that came into his life. And it tells us that in the midst of all of this, that Job blessed God. It shows us that he wasn't frustrated and upset about his circumstances, but he bore it patiently. James 1 gives us some good thoughts about patience. I invite you to turn there with me. James 1, verses 2 to 5. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Facing interruptions in life, as small as they may be, can be a trial for us and can test our faith. And we already talked about faith and trust. But I want to point out what these verses tell us. It tells us that living out our faith in these trying moments develops patience. So understanding that there is something valuable in how I relate to this interruption, or whatever it may be, will produce a spirit of patience. When we are facing interruptions, it's easy for us to be wanting. There's this tension. There's this unrest that it brings all of a sudden. And we're wanting. We feel like things are out of control, perhaps. James tells us that if we allow patience to be developed through faith in God's sovereign work, then we can actually become perfected and wanting nothing. And this wanting nothing means lacking in nothing. Not having what we want or think we need can be a real fear for us. But overcoming that with faith that God works all things for our good, and he has a divine purpose for us, can quench those fears and bring us to rest, which in turn can work out in patience in our circumstances. Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by every foe, that will not tremble on the brink of any earthly woe. May God help us. number five yet. Interruptions are ultimately to bring glory to God. God can really transform us through interruptions in life. There is not a much better teaching method than facing the experiences in life and learning from them. And through these experiences, God wants to receive glory. He really does. Let's look at an example in 2 Corinthians 12. Second Corinthians 12 and verses 7 to 10. This is Paul writing here, and he says, "And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Then am I strong." So Paul had this thorn in his flesh, which we don't know exactly what it was. But he knew that he felt like it was something that was hindering him from doing what was important. And so he cried out to God. It says he cried out three times, asking God to take this away. And God's answer to him was, "My grace is sufficient for you." Paul came to realize that there was a real temptation for himself to be exalted above measure. He mentions that here. There was a real temptation for him to take too much glory to himself. And he understood that through this turn of events in his life, that it was God who needed to receive the glory. It can be so easy for us to glide through life and feel in control. And in those moments, it's easy for us to kind of let God out of the picture and perhaps take too much glory to ourselves and our own accomplishments. Interruptions in life do have a way of bringing us back to reality of what is important. And I think Paul found that here. He was reminded, there is temptation for me to be exalted above measure. These things, interruptions, can make us feel a bit out of control, and it makes opportunity for God to show himself strong in us. It brings us to the testing ground. God wants all the glory. Will we let him shine through us in the interruptions we face in life? I know interruptions are not the only way God works in and through us, but I was challenged to think about this aspect in my own life. We can't view interruptions as a threat, but as an opportunity, as an invitation to draw closer to God, to understand his will more fully, to understand his call to us in his kingdom, perhaps. Because God wants to use us in his kingdom, and many times his call can come to us in the form of interruptions, and it's our choice whether we view them as interruptions or opportunities. So God bless you as you go from here and face those interruptions. Let's allow God to receive glory from our lives and be a blessing in his kingdom wherever we can be. Let's kneel for prayer.